Oh, wonderful Skype fellowship and great sharings from everyone. And now I'm going to hand it over for the teaching, Mrs. Kim Tor. Take it away.
Okay, well, God bless you all. And it's wonderful to see all your faces on Skype and to hear your wonderful testimonies. And I just want to thank you for joining us tonight. I've just returned back to work on Monday, and the people that I work for, they said, oh, we struggled not having you here with us. When you are here, everything thrives and we get on so well and we're all working together. And I thought, that's quite strange really, because, you know, as a body, we thrive together. And it's not good if we're just surviving. So it just really put in my heart about sharing tonight on whether we're thriving or just surviving. Now, before I go into the teaching, I want to put a plug out that if anybody is interested in watching a movie, there is a movie called The War Room. I don't know if Lawrence can type it in on Skype for me. It's called The War Room. It's not about war, so don't worry. But it's based, I believe, on a true story about a Christian woman that had a little closet in her home, and she calls it her war room. And she goes in there and she prays her heart out to God. And I spoke to many, many different believers when I was in the States. And they all said how amazing this film is. It's a very godly movie. It's 2 hours long. And I started to watch the first 15 minutes and I thought, no, I'm going to watch this with Lawrence. So we haven't yet watched it. We got it now. So probably watch that sometime over the weekend. But I do really, really advise, if you're into movies, to try and get hold of it. And just to give those 2 hours to watch it, because it really is inspirational. So anyway, going back to the teaching. So are you thriving or are you just surviving? The word thriving means to flourish, to prosper, to be blessed, to favor, to increase, or success. Striving means to cling to life, to just get through, to pull through, or to continue to live in spite of hardship or danger, or just hanging on. And when I read that, hanging on, I thought of someone that is like hanging on at the edge of a building, and they're holding on for grimness because they don't want to fall, you know? And God never ever wants us in a position where we're just holding on. He wants us thriving. He wants us flourishing and prospering and being blessed. He wants us increasing and to have great success. To thrive is to grow. And the Word of God has, I lost count, but many, many verses of Scripture on the word grow. But we're going to take a look at a couple. If we turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll try and go slow because I tend to get there pretty fast, but Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to have a look at verse 15. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow. So when we hear that word grow, we can think of flourishing or prospering or being blessed, having increase or success, up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. But see, there's a condition. We have to speak the truth in love so that we may grow up into him. See, with God, he sets the plan out very clearly. So for us to be thriving, we have to speak the truth in love. Then we grow, we flourish. Yeah, into him in all things. Anything that you need, anything that pertains unto your life right now, that you can grow into that. Because why? Because even the head is Christ. Psalms, middle of your Bibles. Let's go to Psalms 92. And this is a dandy of a verse. Psalms 92. I love Psalms. It's so sort of comforting. Psalms 92, and in verse 12, it says, the righteous shall flourish. There's your word grow. Like the palm tree. And then it says, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. The righteous shall flourish. Well, we do know that thriving is that word flourish. So we can say the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Absolutely beautiful. And he shall grow. That grow is also to prosper, to be blessed, to be increased, to have success. Like a cedar in Lebanon. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, just over a couple of books, just before the Song of Solomon, chapter 11, and we're going to take a look at verse 5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. And that really hit a heart for me, because obviously Leanne has just had our new grandson. And if you think of how that baby grows within the womb, it really does flourish. Now, we all know how a baby is conceived. But we don't really know how God orchestrated that baby to grow inside that womb. We know it's all done through the umbilical cord, but God, in all his infinite mercy and grace, I mean, it's phenomenal when you try to understand that it comes from a seed, and that seed just gets impregnated, it gets implanted in the womb, and then this baby starts to grow. It takes 9 months. But those bones start to take place. And then once the bones start to take place, then the skin forms, and the eyes, and the nose, and the mouth, and the ears. Then you start to see, like when Leanne went for her scans, we could see the baby growing week after week. Fingernails, little toes. And then as we got later on, hair started to form. And then you could really see that this child was really flourishing within inside the womb. And the way that God created this to happen is really, really phenomenal. So this verse of scripture really, really hits home to me. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. See, we don't fully understand how that baby grows, and we don't fully understand how God operates. But as we're thriving, God starts to show us. Yes. Like Lawrence was sharing for a long time about, you know, we confess what we want, not what we see. Now, we can't really see all that going on, but God knows.
Amen.
And then when we start applying it, then we start to see how God orchestrated it to be, that it comes through our faith. You know, nothing pleases God more than our faith. So it's going to please God even more when we're thriving with him and we're learning as he reveals and shows that to us via his spirit. Jeremiah, over a couple of books. And we're going to go to Jeremiah 33. And you all know that my favourite verse of scripture, and I say that it's God's telephone number, emergency number, Jeremiah 33:3, says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. So sometimes we can't see what God's plan is. But if we ask, it says here that he will answer us. He'll show us. So if you really want to know how a baby grows inside the womb, just ask God. He'll show you. Or if you want to know the plan for your life and how to thrive with God, then ask him and he'll show you. And these are the great and mighty things that we don't know now. You know, we may say that we're speaking what we want, not what we see. And that comes through faith, because it's hard sometimes. You know, the world attacks us in all different directions at times. But if we're really rooted and grounded in that love, I know that, you know, love has been spoken a lot about tonight. But if we are rooted and grounded in that love, and that Christ in us is dwelling, that we obey the two commandments, which is to love God and to love our neighbour, then God is going to help us to thrive in this life and in the life to come. We don't want to just be surviving, guys. We really don't. But we're going to go on to Jeremiah 33, and I want you to flick over the page. Well, I got to flick over the page to verse 15 here. And this is why, because in those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up into David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Well, it's not David that executed the judgment and the righteousness. You know, the branch of righteousness is that God will send Jesus Christ, and he grows up into the lineage of David, right? We are all from that lineage. And then we grow, we flourish, and we prosper. We get blessed, we have great success. Oh, sorry, love.
Oh, no, you're alright. I'm just trying to add,
sorry.
No, carry on.
Okay. And we get to increase, we get to be blessed, we have great success, because we're in that lineage of Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory, guys, right? That there will be a time when we grow up into him who is everything. And he will execute the judgment and the righteousness in this land. Second Peter, just take a look at one or two more. Second Peter, we're looking at the word grow, remember. Second Peter chapter 3 and in verse 18. But growing grace. Wow. Right, so if you're growing, you are thriving like a plant. You're flourishing in that grace. You're prospering in that grace. You're increasing in grace. You have success in that grace in wherein you stand. And in the knowledge. So you'll prosper in the knowledge. You'll flourish in the knowledge. You'll increase in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. There's nothing in there that says you'll just be surviving. You won't be just hanging on in there, guys. You know, you're not going to be battered by the adversary day and night. You're going to be thriving. And one more verse. Let's look at this one in Colossians chapter 1. Go back a few books. Thessalonians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read in verse 9 and in verse 10. And it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. See, it's so important that we pray for each other. It really is. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, to really understand God, you have to have that spiritual understanding. That spiritual understanding will help you to thrive, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being fruitful. Well, there's the first one. If you're fruitful, then it means you're rooted and grounded. That root is so deep down in that word of God that you are unshakable, you are unmovable. And then it is going on to say, in every good work and increasing So there's our word thriving in the knowledge of God. You'll prosper in the knowledge of God. You'll be blessed in the knowledge of God. You'll have favor in the knowledge of God. You'll have success in the knowledge of God. See, if we're thriving, we will be growing. We'll be increasing. Then it goes on to say, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. See, there's nothing here telling us we'll be just surviving. Right? We're going to be strengthened. In other words, your root, your core is going to be even stronger. You will be unmovable. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So the first one was fruitful, the second one was increasing, third one was strengthened, fourth one was giving thanks. When we are thriving, we will operate all these four things within this small context in Colossians. Increasing is to thrive or to grow in the knowledge of God. And growing in the knowledge of God, well, I met a lady today, and obviously I haven't seen her for a few weeks because I've been in America. But just before I came away to go to the States, this lady lost her husband. And she was very sad. It happened about 2 months ago, and she is really struggling. She's just surviving, that's what I would say. You know, she was married for 60 years, and she's finding it really, really tough right now. And I asked her today how she was, and she said, well, it's getting a little better. She said, I have a daughter and I have two sons. She said, one of my sons is a devout Christian. With his wife, and I said, oh, I expect he gives you a lot of support. And she said, I don't see him. And I said, pardon? She said, no, I don't see him. She said, he lives his life and he doesn't have a lot to do with me, really. She said, he's all for the church, very religious. And it made me think, actually, that, you know, Christianity has such a name for itself within the world today. And people say to you, you know, oh, are you Christian? And sometimes I don't even want to say I'm a Christian because I don't want them to suddenly label me as this religious fanatic. But then we went on to have conversation, and she knew that I'd been away, and she said, oh, where did you go? So of course the door opened. And when I'm asked, I do tell. So I said, we went to America. She said, oh, what were you doing over there? And then it was like the adversary was putting a bind on me because I didn't want to say I was a Christian, because after what she just said about her son. And I started to struggle with these words, you know, because I don't want her to suddenly put me in the category that she'd put her son and the daughter-in-law. And I said, well, actually, I said, my husband is a pastor. I said, but he's an unorthodox pastor. He doesn't belong to any type of religion. I said, he just loves the one true God. I said, family is very important to us, first and foremost. Individually, we go to God, then it's each other, and then our family. And as soon as I said that, you could just see this whole persona of her face change. And she asked more, and I told her what we'd done, and I told her what we do. I told her about how we have fellowship, how we've worked with a lot of youth, how we've just been to America and gone to different parts of America and just shared God's word, shared the love of God. And the lady just stood there with tears in her eyes. And she said it really helped her to understand that not to label Christians. And I know that it was God that was giving me those words. It wasn't something that I'd made up myself. And I started to have tears in my eyes because, you know, in the first instance, I felt the adversary was binding me not to speak, not to tell her what I'd done. And then I felt that I shouldn't have fear and that I should just speak the truth in love. that I may grow up in him, that he, I don't know what her needs are, but I know that he could put those words in my mouth to soften her heart against Christianity. And then this whole teaching came together on that I'm not just surviving. You know, I'm not there in this world surviving. I'm out there thriving. And the adversary can try to put his hooks in me, but I'm not going to take any part of it. And I know that I'm going to thrive. I'm going to grow in the knowledge of God. And God is the one that inspires me to walk and talk with him. There are two records of two different men, and I'd like to read them. It's in Mark chapter 10. And both of these guys had a choice. And I thought it might just make it easier, Matthew, Mark, if we took a read of the difference of these two guys, and that how one was thriving and one was just surviving. So Mark chapter 10, and we're going to start backwards. So we're going to read the last one first. So we're going to read verse 46, and it says, "And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David."
10:46.
Oh, sorry, I'm reading 47. Okay, I've jumped one verse.
Oh, I didn't see.
You didn't see it, only one verse.
I saw 46, I didn't see 46.
Okay, so Mark chapter 10, start again, verse 46. "And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." So here's the blind man. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me." See, he didn't shut up. Even when he was told to hold his peace,
yeah,
like I felt today, he didn't. He continued to cry out, and I continued to speak. And verse 49, "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." In other words, whoa, quick, come, Jesus wants to speak to you. "And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus." Verse 51, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Now, I'm pretty sure that Jesus Christ could see he was blind. And this is one thing I learned in America. We do not assume we think we know what the people need.
Yeah.
We don't assume. Like, I assumed today, thinking that I thought I knew what that lady needed to hear. I knew she wanted, you know, after I started to explain and she told me about her son being a Christian and being very religious, I assumed that I wasn't going to speak because I got a bit fearful that she might label me the same as her son. But Jesus Christ didn't assume anything here, right? Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. And what did he do? He followed Jesus in the way. Now there's a condition there. He didn't just receive his sight and run off and live his own life. He received his sight immediately. And then he followed Jesus. And you know, sometimes God works within us to do things and we may retract because we're fearful. But it's our faith that brings God's will to pass. So we don't have to get tricked out. If God's showing us to do something, then we do it. Because he really got rewarded for following, after he received his sight, he got rewarded for following Jesus Christ. But now we're going to look at someone that didn't listen in Mark 10, and we're going to start in verse 17. Let's make sure I start this right this time. Okay. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now this guy's run after Jesus Christ as well. All right. So he's searching. He has faith at this point. Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honour thy father and thy mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Read on. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left his house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and the lands, with persecutions in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." Amen. Right, so there it just shows us that the rich man, even though he followed, he went in search of Jesus Christ, and he asked the question. Jesus Christ didn't just come up with that. God told Jesus Christ what to say to him, okay? Because Jesus Christ only did the Father's will. And God knew that this man wouldn't give up his riches and give it all to the poor and then follow Christ. Whereas the blind man received his sight and followed Christ. The blind man had nothing to give up. The blind man had nothing to give. He was just sat there. But he ended up thriving, and yet the rich man ended up striving. Because he never, well, I don't know, maybe, God knows, but according to this, he didn't, and he wouldn't enter into the kingdom of God at that time. So he'll end up striving in the world, and he cannot buy eternal life with his possessions and his goods and everything else. So it just shows us that for us to really follow God, then we have to let Christ work within us. And when God tells us to do something, we need to do it, and we need to follow it to the letter so that we end up thriving and not striving. You know, genuine faith is contagious. Genuine faith shows growth. Genuine faith points others to God. Now, I would like to believe that after I spoke with that lady today, I pointed her in the direction of a real loving God, and not what Christianity, and I put that in inverted brackets, what Christianity makes God out to be. The rich young ruler survived on his ability. The blind man thrived and followed Jesus Christ. We have to stop following the wrong direction. We can't allow the adversary to buffet us at times. We have to ask God, don't just survive, thrive with that God in Christ in you, and you will end up flourishing, prospering, being blessed, having favour, increasing, and having success all the day long. So that's my sharing.
Oh, that was hot. Thank you, darling. And it, you know, we got to give up to go up. You know,
yeah.
What we're willing to lay aside. And it just kind of reminded me of the question I asked about us all coming together, because that takes effort.
Yeah.
For us to get together, like we're all in different countries. And that's open to anyone. US, if you want to come from the US. You know, if God puts it in your heart, then we do what the Father shows. Now, it may be in our heart, but we might have other things there that is holding us back. Are we willing to give it up if God is showing us to do the opposite? And when we do what God shows us to do, then the blessings are enormous. And I know that from my own personal experience. I expect you guys also know in your own different situations you've had, when you've done what God showed you to do, when you didn't, and your natural man didn't want to do it, but when you was obedient, you know, we've been called to the obedience of the faith, and with the obedience is blessing, you know, because we're doing it because we know that the Father knows best, and He's going to really take care of us, and that He will work in us to be a blessing to other people. And just like Jesus Christ, He had the blessings of God in His life. He's seen the power of God operate through Him and with Him, and He knew His Father, and His Father knew Him, and, you know, He grew. And He waxed strong, and He was mighty, and we can do the same. We are mighty. We have the Spirit of God in us, and we got that God connection. So that was really, really great. So with that, I would like to ask someone on the Skype fellowship there, would you like to pray? And then we'll have a time of prayer right now.